Chapter 5, final conclusions, my suggestions for future research, and what I would do if I had the time, resources, and we're going to study fathering and its effects on children further. Of course, most important on this is we need some good solid research which helps us understand and the effects of fathering on children's development from an early age throughout the launching period in which children leave their home, or really over the entire life course. What contributions are unique to fathers, particularly among specific populations? We have some good ideas of general trends, but an indication of the difference between or even what is specific to or unique about specific racial and demographic populations remains generally unstudied, and there's certainly not a lot of longitudinal research on those specific populations. It's been shown to be lacking in several research articles. Father's effects at individual stages of development is still in the early phases of research. We don't have a lot on the effects of fathering based on different periods in a child's development. We tend to have quite a bit for younger, earlier stages, but not as much for later development, and not as much based on, again, individual demographic, racial, and groups. The roles that have been delineated or discussed earlier in this report, those breadwinner, moral guide, etc., are a good beginning point. These have been thoroughly defined by researchers and have been shown to be prevalent in the minds of society, something that important pieces of who fathers are and what they do, how they affect their children. And so it would be good to start from that point of what we already know is important about fathering, how we've already seen them defined by society. But to take that one step further, and better understand, create a more thorough definition of fathers. In a recent review of defining and measuring father involvement, it was discussed, that was Conceptualizing and Measuring Father Involvement is the name of that particular edited volume of research by Day and Lamb that was published in 2004. Also, Lamb's ongoing work on the role of father and the father and child development are good resources for these areas. But these sources and others show that current families should be the definition, should be where we get our definition of father, and we should again look at ways of defining a father outside of just what can be observed from an outside viewpoint, and find ways of looking at those things from an internal view of what's important and what it means. So one particular area where research is lacking currently is in clinical studies. There is very little clinical research showing what effects father's absence or presence has on the therapeutic process and on outcome variables. There's not a lot on the parental dynamic in therapy, of whether we really do just need mom there, who's most often the parent who's available for therapy, if present at all, in therapy. So we kind of need to know, is two really better than one? Or how How would having both parents affect the outcome of therapy and the process in general? But again, we don't really know if it's better if dad's there. We don't know about if the order or the timing of parental involvement affects the outcome or is as important as some might think it is. Does it matter if dad comes first or if he comes for the last two sessions? Does it matter if both parents are ever there or, you know, that they come together or what? So more research on that timing issue. And finally, the gender of the therapist. How does this affect? There's been quite a bit of research on the interaction between a gender therapist and client, but not much showing with the gender of the therapist affects whether or not dad is involved, if there's some particular bias in that area, or his likelihood to be willing to participate. So, if I were going to construct a study that would tie some of these key factors and unknowns together, I would create a systematic long-term, longitudinal study looking at different family configurations. I would have a set group of therapists that varied by race and gender and age and experience. Would look at how, and then I would have specific techniques that these therapists would apply according to their individual areas of expertise. And I would, so we would begin with this set group of therapists with a set group of proven therapeutic techniques. And then I would look at the interaction between that group of therapists and a representative sample of families. As you can see on the slide, the demographic information for all family members and the therapists involved would be required. Of course, this would be a double-blind study based on observational and interview measures. We would compare those therapists who work to incorporate parents into their children's therapy to those who don't as a control group. We would simply not make recommendations for whether or not they did it, except perhaps to ensure that, in our sampling, I imagine, that there were an ample measure of therapists involved in the research group who did, as a practice, involve fathers and mothers in therapy, compared to those who perhaps just involved mothers, to those who tended to work individually with children. So we'd look at the same presenting problem for varying demographic groups of therapists and families, and compare the outcome of varying therapeutic techniques, the varying therapist gender and family configurations, races, etc., on the overall outcome of therapy. Going a little bit further, finally, we would want to know how the presenting problem influences whether or not fathers are present. As you can see on the last slide here, once we know more about the influence of father involvement, once we've got some clear information about the unique contributions that fathers and mothers make to therapeutic outcome, and to, again, those differences in demographic differences of family and children and therapist, I would want to have some specific clinical problems and to further this research to show which of these presenting problems required the father's presence for a more likely positive outcome in therapy, which problems were perhaps best treated individually, and would measure this based on the age of the children. I imagine that, according to earlier research showing that fathers become more salient later, that it would tend to be that the older children are, the more salient father's involvement in the therapeutic process would become. That it would depend very much on the nature of the parents' relationship. That we would see something of a large effect for first working on the parents' relationship, and then working on parenting issues and adolescent issues. That when a therapist works first with the parents, or has a couple that is doing well and has a good relationship, they're able to be much more effective with the adolescents. So overall, we need kind of some good longitudinal data that will show us, according to the many differences in families, because right now the main thrust of what little research we do have on therapists and working with fathers and families basically just asks whether or not fathers are involved in therapy. And when we see that there's a relatively low rate of that, but to know what effects that involvement has, what particular issues it's effective for, and of course, just generally knowing more about fathering and its effects on adolescent development, I think would be a wonderful beginning point to that. So, pretty long-term, multi-million dollar, many individuals involved research study that I imagine will take place in the social sciences as components of several individual projects. As a final note, perhaps a more realistic study would be simply a survey of fathers that are involved in families and adolescents, what the presenting problem was, what the outcome was, and perhaps a follow-up study 6 months or a year later, checking on the long-term effects of the outcomes of that therapy, I think might be a good starting place to show what immediate outcomes father involvement has on the therapeutic process. So those are my research recommendations. And again, those final conclusions that we need to know more about fathering and its effects on children's development. Once we do that, we'll better be able to apply that information and involve fathers in a meaningful therapeutic process with a positive outcome.